from America's frontier, Nebraska. It's the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham on News Talk 1240 KODY.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Julie Geiser, Public Information Officer with our local Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, or as I call her, MOG, Madam Outdoor Goddess. How are you this morning?
Doing well, thank you.
It's that time of the year where we're wrapping things up.
Yep.
So I got several things to talk about. First, I want to mention, I heard the other night that you guys have some different ways of doing things out at Fort Cody for the traditional Christmas.
Right.
So let's start with that one.
Yeah, it's going to have a little bit different look and a little bit different feel this year because of COVID.
What doesn't?
I know, right? Everybody ought to be used to it by now. So, you know, we will have Christmas at the Cody's. It's just going to be a drive-through venue this year. We can't allow people in the mansion because, of course, that's if you've ever been to Christmas at the Cody's, it's packed in there.
There's no room to social distance.
No.
That house was built in an era where they didn't think about that.
Right.
Everything's compact anyway.
Right. But so, still a mansion.
It is.
But, yeah, that'll be held December 15th through the 23rd. And you can drive through from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. It's free to go through it, but you do need a park permit.
Okay.
If you don't have an annual, you know, 2020, you can buy a $6 one. And those are, you can go online and get them, or we'll have them out there at the ranch, too.
Okay. Park permits, perfect segue.
Right? We led right into it.
You're good.
I know.
a lot of your permits, hunting, fishing, park entry permits, all like that, they turn into pumpkins December 31st at midnight.
Yep.
So it's time to buy new ones. Are
and
they
you
on
know,
sale yet?
They are. They are. And they've got a, the park stickers have a really nice look this year.
Oh.
Justin Hagar, the equivalent of me, but up in Chadron, took the photo, and they actually put that on the park stickers this year.
Really?
So it's a beautiful scenic park sticker this year, so it's kind of cool.
Is it a picture over the park or something?
Or yes.
Out there in the hill?
Yep, yep. So it's
very nice.
Pretty nice. So we'll have a little bit different look for that as well. But gosh, you know, what a great Christmas gift. Matter of fact, when I head out to the office today, that's what I'm going to buy is park permits and duplicates for Christmas.
I'll have to do that as well because,
yep,
you know, I'm in the parks about as much as you
right,
are.
Right, right.
But I need to get that, and then there's a few other tags I need to get, like my, I got the lifetime hunting and fishing permit. I don't have to worry about that one.
Right.
But I have to get my trapping one and
yep, and stamps, like, and
stamps and
habitat
and
stamp. But you can buy lifetime habitat stamps, too.
I ain't got that much life left in me. For what you guys want. I got into that discussion one time with a few of the commissioners. We were out to dinner. They were having a commission meeting, and I got invited back for something. And I went out to dinner with three of the commissioners at the time, four actually. And during dinner, they were lamenting the cost of lifetime permits and why we weren't selling as much. And I looked around the table, and I said, "You guys got to be kidding me." I mean, one was a dentist, one was a rancher, one was, his whole thing, Gary's whole thing was businesses would hire him in to get him squared away, and then he'd go to another place.
Right.
And he was working with Balin Manufacturing in Columbus at the time. Anyway, I said, "You guys, you know, businessmen should know this." I said, "Nebraskans are very frugal people."
Exactly.
A young guy, maybe starting a family, and he's looking at that big dollar figure. He doesn't have that kind of disposable income.
Nope.
So he's not buying it. And by the time you do get to the point that you can buy it, being frugal people, you're looking at that and go, "I ain't ever going to get a payback out of that."
Right. Do the math.
My ROI ain't there. And it was a few years later, I mentioned, I said, "You guys got to figure out somehow to prorate this on age."
Right.
For a while.
Yep. They did kind of the sliding.
Yeah. Gary Pinkerton, who was he was a commissioner out. He was a dentist in Beatrice, and I remember the day they voted on that, I got a call. And I was sitting in my office, and he said, "Do you remember that conversation?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "We did that. Put your money where your mouth is." And he knows where my office is. He says, "Just walk across the street at lunch."
Yeah, right. Go to the Game and Parks office.
I did. I went over and got my... I think I had a lifetime fishing permit, and then I bought the hunting permit side of it. So
right.
Fishing permit with you.
Cool.
That was I got that up at...
Oh, at Outdoor Women. Yeah. Yeah.
1 year, so yep. Thank you.
That's heck yeah. What a deal, right?
I've got my money's worth out of that one.
Heck yeah. I wish I'd have bought, you know, those years ago. But like you say, it's...
Same thing.
I'm
look
over
at it,
the hill now.
Yeah,
it's
I ain't going to make it pay out.
Yep. Might as well just keep doing what I'm doing.
So you got to buy your park permit, hunting permit, fishing permit. What else? Well, you mentioned the stamps.
Right. And people that waterfowl hunt will need to get that new stamp, too.
Yeah. The waterfowl habitat.
The waterfowl and habitat. But the federal,
that
federal duck stamp, that carries over until, I think it's like June. Yeah. I don't remember the exact date, but... The federal duck stamp, that is still good if you bought one.
You know, you can't open the gate and let the ducks down now.
I know, right?
they've got too easy a life up there still on the higher prairies. They don't need to move yet.
Nope, not yet. It'll happen sometime.
Yeah, you look down there and you see the last day of the season is February 28th. They'll show up about March 3rd.
Well, winter seems to be like shifting gears, you know. It's like we have winter up until May, and it really doesn't get here until January, February. So, but speaking of that, we could go over seasons.
Yeah. What seasons are going to shut down the end of December? What seasons are going to carry over? What seasons are going to start?
Right. Well, for deer hunters, archery and muzzleloader is going on right now. And
next week, camp.
Yeah, next week's your deer camp, huh?
Muzzleloader camp. I missed rifle camp.
Why?
That's when I came down with COVID.
Down and out, huh?
For 2 weeks, I had to do my COVID isolation. But there were a couple days in there I didn't even get out of bed. God, man, I was sick. So.
Wow. Yep.
So I'm ready to go shoot something.
There you go. Yep. Well, there you go. Warm that muzzle up. But yeah, deer, you know, archery and muzzleloader, they have until December 31st. So, and then we have the late antlerless season after that. So,
I got to double check, maybe with you and or Rollinson or something. I came up with a over under swivel breech 50 caliber. Is that legal to use for muzzleloading season? Because it only fires one barrel at a time.
Well, it's considered a muzzleloader.
Yeah.
So I would think so.
I gotta double check with that one. Somewhere I think I read in the regs somewhere that, you know, it's one barrel, one shot. Well, technically I do have one barrel, one shot, but it's two barrels together.
Yeah.
I gotta ask about that one.
That'd be like a conservation officer question, because they'd have to dig into the statutes on that.
Yep.
So
get Alex on that one.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, the late firearm antler list, that goes in from January 1st to the 15th, and that's where we hit that private land only along the river systems across the state.
We've got a hunt set up for that one, too. That's the one over the last 8-10 years, my core group of people, and you know most of them, I have dictated the style of rifle we would use.
Right.
Or pistol, just so everybody did something different.
Right.
And we've done big bore handguns, we've done slug guns, lever action rifles with no telescopic sights, iron sights only. A couple years ago, it was World War II or older military service weapons.
Wow. Keep them hopping.
That was pretty eclectic looking gun rack that year. And this year, I pulled out another one. I told them in February, so they had a whole year to get it. But it's single-shot European-style stalking rifles.
Wow. Where do you guys find these?
Well, you got to look for them. That's why I gave them a year.
You got a year in advance,
I got it covered. I've picked up four over the last year. Anyway, I hear music in the background, so that's Tristan's way of telling me we got a break for a commercial. So when we come back, we'll get back into the seasons and what we got to look forward to.
Sounds good.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Chevy Camaro, one of America's iconic muscle cars. But if you live in California or Washington State, three Camaro models, the SS, the Z11-1, the 1LE, are going to be off-limits to you starting January 1st. The Camaros are being banned because of what's in their brake pads. 10 years ago, both California and Washington State enacted stringent laws to limit the amount of copper that automakers are allowed to use in brake pads. Well, here's the problem. Whenever drivers apply their brakes, it kicks off a tiny amount of brake dust. That brake dust includes particles of copper and other metals used in the manufacture of brake pads. The evil, toxic brake dust then gets deposited on the road. The wind blows it all over the state and then all over the world. And ultimately, this brake dust mixes with rain. It gets washed into the rivers. And here's the worst aspect of it all. Copper is bad for fish. It messes with their sense of smell. It makes it easier for other fish predators to kill the fish that have been exposed to brake dust. So no Chevy Camaros for you muscle car fans in California or Washington, at least until Chevy gets rid of the copper brake dust. Bad for you, good for the fish. Do you believe this?
On the morning of wonder and surprise, everyone's gathered around to discover what's hidden under the tree. Experience the joy and connections of the season with four lines for $100 from Vero, including two lines of Better Unlimited for Mom and Dad, and two lines of Student Unlimited for the kids. Plus, get four free phones as four free gifts for your family. Shop our best holiday deals now at a local Vero store or online at Vero.com. Merry Christmas from all of us at Vero.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. See a few scattered snow showers here for today, then a slight chance for snow and rain mixing here late. Cloudy skies, temperatures holding rather steady. Winds out of the northeast around 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusting as high as 20. Then for tonight, a slight chance for snow showers early on. Cloudy and a low near 19. By Saturday, partial sunshine develops, a high around 38 degrees. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Outdoor Connection. We're talking with Julie Geiser with the Game and Parks this morning. We were talking about what seasons are on, which ones are wrapping up. Let's talk about waterfowl now.
Right. We were just talking about how the ducks need to make their journey down.
Come on down, yeah. Sound like the price is right. Come on down.
Right. The weather's fine here. But yeah, most of the people in our area are going to be in zone 1 and 2. And that's zone 2's in the high plains, which is where we are.
Right.
And then zone 3 is the low plains. But those seasons actually close zone 2 December 17th, and then it reopens January 6th through the 27th.
Right.
And that's the high plains. And then zone 3 closes January 5th and then opens the 6th through the 27th. So why they do that, I'm not exactly sure, because it closes
answer.
The 5th and then opens the 6th.
That one I don't know.
Yeah.
But on the other ones, I was talking with, trying to remember at the time who was the head of the duck and goose seasons for the Game and Parks. And they said they did that because their studies had shown that over certain holidays, like Thanksgiving, there are a lot of people that hunt.
Right.
But over the Christmas holidays, there aren't as many people. People are traveling. So they broke those seasons up so that they were open when the most number of people that wanted to hunt were hunting. because they only get X amount of days from the feds.
Right.
And you can
divvy it up
however you want, but that was their rationale for it, and I thought, okay, that makes sense.
That was the reasoning, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, because that's, you know, we have our state regulations, but the state is kind of trumped by federal regulations,
right.
So we got to follow.
Fish and Wildlife comes out, and they say you have, you know,
88
days to hunt.
Right.
And you can divide that up any way you want.
Yep.
So that's why we have some of those breaks and stops and starts and restarts.
Right. So. And then, of course, one of my favorite seasons is the goose season, especially big Canadas. And here we're in the Platte River unit, and that runs until February 9th. All of the units actually run until February 9th, except for the North Central, which closes January 17th.
That's something else I've got to do during my muzzleloading hunt. The landowner there has a nice lake, and his grandson was hunting geese, hunting Canadas. They frequent the area. And he had shot some, got one that was wounded. It couldn't fly, and it was swimming out in the lake. So he tried to walk and get it, but he always swam to the other side of the lake.
Right. Got to get a dog.
He had a dog, but it was tiring the dog out.
Oh, geez.
Trying to swim around and stuff. So the family that owns the ground, they have some kayaks out there for the summer. So he went and got a kayak, got in it. Herded the goose to the east end, let it get up on the bank, shot it, put it down, and then went to put the kayak back. And as he was on his way back to get the goose, this big coyote comes out of the ground, out of the timber to the east of him, runs out, grabs the goose, and runs off with it.
Whoops.
So the landowner called me and he says, "You got a mission." He says, "When you're out here," he says, "get that coyote."
That's funny. I shot a doe a couple years ago, and by the time, you know, I let it sit for about 20 minutes and I got down to where it was, I knew it was down, there was a bobcat trying to eat off the deer. Then I scared it off when I walked down there.
Did you get a picture of it?
No, it was, Summer. Shoot, by that time it was too dark, so mm-hmm. I was headlamping it. But
that was an item I had on my Christmas wish list, was a little headlamp I
yep,
found.
Absolutely. There's some good ones out there.
Yep.
Some very good ones.
So, what else we got?
Well, white-fronted, or your speckle bellies.
Right.
That one is closed right now, but will open back up January 18th through February 9th. White and blue phase snow geese runs until December 25th, so if you want to go hunting on Christmas Day, you can. And then it reopens January 18th through February 9th.
And then when does the conservation season happen?
The big conservation season. In the west zone and east zone, it opens back up February 10th.
And that'll run till?
In the west zone, April 5th.
Right,
in the east zone, April 15th.
That's a long one.
So get your hunt guide so you can figure out which zone you're going to be hunting in.
Yeah.
Because it's got,
and get your permissions,
detailed pictures. Yep.
Because snow geese, unlike the others, they don't...
Got to travel with them.
Yeah, you got to just follow them, so you need to have permission on a lot of places
right,
to go hunt.
Right, little pre-season. And don't forget about turkey. If you want to get a Christmas turkey.
No.
You know, there's plenty of time to get one of those yet.
And they lengthened that season a couple years ago. I think that runs to the end of January now.
Right, January 31st. So, a little bit different style of hunting in the fall than it is
yep.
in the spring, but it's still a lot of fun.
There's some pluses and minuses. You get two tags. You can shoot either
yep.
sex, which if you're introducing somebody to turkey hunting, your opportunity's just quadrupled there.
Right.
A lot of the young of the year, the poults have grown up. They're almost full-sized turkeys. And this year with COVID, you know, they're saying use smaller turkeys for smaller gatherings and dinner. So it's perfect.
It's perfect.
But, you know, they are not wise to the ways of hunters. They
exactly.
Do, they walk right in and do stupid things. You
yep.
can get them pretty easy.
Yep. And they're pretty easy to pattern because, you know, in the winter months they get into those big, huge flocks and
yeah,
they'll
go
basically go to the same
to
areas. Right.
Roost, feed sun. Roost feed
right.
sun. And yeah, well, if you can hang out in the timber long enough and got enough ground to pattern them,
yep.
it's like, you know, you sit there and you go, well, you know, it's about 3:20 and they're going to be coming through about 3:45.
Right.
And you go get
yep.
It's almost that tight a schedule.
It is. It is. Which is good. And there's lots of public areas to hunt, too. Especially down in the Les Canyons, south of Maxwell and Brady.
I wouldn't mind packing a turkey out of there.
I would want to try it.
But a deer?
Yeah, deer would be another
or
story.
Elk.
Yeah.
God, that's a long way to go with no vehicles that you can take back
yep,
in there.
Yep, yep. So it's all walk-in access, but yeah.
What else you got to talk about this morning?
Well, you know, as far as Christmas gifts go, of course, the park permit, $31 for
right.
the park stamp. You know, what kills me is everybody that buys a park permit, well, not everybody, but a lot of people that come out to the office, gosh, those things are so expensive. Well, when you think about it, $31 for the year, that's about $2.58 a month.
Mm-hmm.
A month.
Or less than a buck a week, if you want to figure it that way.
Exactly.
It is. It's pretty cheap entertainment when you look at it.
Right.
You don't always have to hunt and fish. You can just, you know, go take pictures.
Camp,
you know,
hike.
Do bird watching. You know where bird watching ranks in the overall...
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Actually, I found a thing. It's actually the second most participated in outdoor activity.
Yep.
And I'm going, all right, what's the first? Well, gardening is the first. I didn't
gardening.
Gardening, yeah.
Well, I like to garden, but
go out and stalk a tomato and shoot it.
Right. That's not. Yeah, that wasn't exactly my hunt fish
but they,
process.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was. But it is outdoors. Bird watching, birding, as they call it, is huge. And I know the game and parks. You guys have the, you know, count the birds and which ones you got,
right,
and all like that.
Right.
And then the Audubon Society has a big thing with it, and that's
right,
turned into
the Audubon's Christmas Bird Count. That's coming up.
They've turned that into a citizen science
right.
project. Well,
right.
That's
so anybody that wants to have a project to do with their kids over Christmas break, that just get on the Audubon webpage, and it's the Christmas Bird Count, and I believe that goes through, let's see, December 14th through January 4th or 5th this year. And you can keep track of what birds you see and
yep,
just
you send them in.
Send them in on that webpage.
And they make a huge collective study of it to see where they are, and they find birds every now and then.
Right, what type of birds and how many are in the area. So that's pretty cool.
Picture I have there for you. A friend of mine that's right outside his dining room window. He's got his finch feeder
yep.
there. And the finches are always in there, and they're pretty and fun to look at.
Right. That's one of the things that I wrote about in my column for the North Platte Telegraph that was in yesterday's paper was bird feeding. And every December-ish, I like to write an article to remind people, you know, now's the time to feed birds, and bird feeders and bird waterers make great Christmas presents, too.
The big key there is if you're going to start, stay with it.
Right, at least until summer, because
yeah.
those birds depend on that.
That's
and right,
right
now, you know, a lot of the food sources are depleting pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So those birds will come to depend on that food and water source.
I don't know. I've thought about putting bird feeders up. But the cat we have is a heck of a hunter.
Right. Right.
I have seen him leap 8.5 feet in the air and take a Eurasian dove out.
Yep.
That was flying away. He's a heck of a hunter. He's a Maine Coon. You know what a Maine Coon?
Oh, those are beautiful.
They're big cats.
Yep.
So I wished it was colored like a bobcat or something, but he's basic black, gray, and white, you know.
You gotta learn how to Mr. Kitty, huh?
Mr. Kitty.
Got to learn to place your bird feeders where the birds can get away without without him being able to stalk.
This cat wandered into the yard, we think out of the park out there at Lake Maloney, And he wasn't full grown then. At the time, the vet estimated him at 10 months or so old. But he came in and got fed, got scratched, and went, hey, that's a pretty good place.
I like this place. I'm going to hang around.
And he's hung around now like 7 years. And like I said, he's a great hunter, so he earns his keep. Have no mice, no problems like that.
Which is nice.
He'll bring home squirrels every now and then.
Yeah. Here, look what I brought you.
Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely.
So what else you got?
Eagle viewing.
That's what I'm writing about for Sunday.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do a little pre-writing.
About, you know, this. I have noticed, just going around, there's more
eagles in the
which
area.
Which tells me the waterfowl are coming.
Yep.
Because
they migrate with the waterfowl. They
right.
follow them. So. But yeah, eagle viewing. Central Nebraska Public Power and Irrigation District is not going to open the viewing facilities or buildings at Lake
right.
Ogallala or at Lexington at the J2. But, gosh, you know, people can still see eagles from their vehicle.
Yep, you can do that. And below the hydro at Jeffrey Lake, too.
Yep.
Here's another one.
Yep. They'll be at reservoirs, any place you can find open water, Johnson Lake,
yep.
Maloney at the inlet.
Very
so,
good.
Yeah, get out in eagle view.
I'm hearing music again. That means we got to go. Julie, thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having me.
We covered a lot of ground this
yeah,
week.
We did.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.